Hello, my AOWs. If you're new here, welcome. AOW stands for Army of Women. And I really, really say that with so much importance and respect because we wouldn't be having this menopause moment if it weren't for you. If it weren't for you. So I am come to you humbly today because I have missed two Wednesday uploads in a row. And it's been killing me, my OCD, my perfectionism. It's really been bothering me that I have been late to getting the show out to you. I am excited to tell you that if you didn't know, I got to be a guest on Live with Kelly and Mark, NBC's show, and it was an incredible experience. And they did an entire, not one, but two segments on debunking menopause myths. It was such an amazing segment, and I was so honored and truly just so blessed that they discussed my upcoming book, and it was so much fun to watch it climb in the charts on Amazon. So thank you so much. If you've already gotten my book, if you don't know what the heck I'm talking about, I have a book coming out June 6th called Unlock Your Menopause Type. Okay, enough with the intro. I know that was long. I want to talk about men and menopause, like menopause. Men do not go through menopause. I just want to say that for the record. It's funny because you cannot take that from us. you cannot take that from us. I've been asked this before. Do men go through a menopause? Chemotherapy aside, because there can be hormonal changes that stem from chemotherapy for when men take chemotherapy, but it is not a universal process that all men will lose their testosterone completely. That is the equivalent. The equivalent is literally that all men lose their testosterone at age 46, 45, 49, 52, and it never comes back. Men might have dips in their testosterone. They may suffer from low testosterone potentially, but their sex hormones never disappear. So no, men do not go through menopause. But the reason I want to talk about men and menopause today is because I have been interviewed by several men recently, like in a row, several men in a row. And I have found these conversations to be incredibly impactful to me in a couple of different ways. Now, if you've not listened to my show before, on my solo cast, I usually just kind of riff and it's a little bit of therapy, hopefully for you, but definitely for me. But the reason I wanted to talk about men and menopause, and no, I have no script and I have no idea what I'm about to say, is because clearly, number one, they're becoming more interested in this. As women are becoming more interested, a lot of men have a female partner or a sister or a mother who's also experiencing menopause. And for those that are married to or partnered with women, they go through it just as women do, like along the side. Just like if a man is with a partner who has a baby, the man isn't pregnant, but you know the old joke about how men gain the baby weight, you know, like because they kind of go through the stressors with you. And the same is really true of menopause. And as society and dialogue is opening up more, I find my conversations with men so interesting. So they're becoming more interested, and they have things to say. They're becoming more interested, and they have things to say, and we need their support and their help. I'm a feminist just like anyone else. And the true definition of feminism is not better than, it's equal to. It's not better than, it's equal to. And having men be involved in the conversation is so incredibly helpful, whether it's men who are doctors, men who are partners, men who want to be doctors and partners, just men in general. You know, men are policymakers, men are CEOs, men are husbands and spouses and fathers. So they are involved with this universal process too, whether they like it or not. So let me back up and tell you about a couple of my experiences recently. And hopefully I can tell you a little bit about this, but I was recently interviewed for a radio station in Boston, Greater Boston area. I think it's 104.1. The host of this show, Greg, has a partner, Mike, his business partner, because Greg's actual partner, his wife, is my patient. So my wife said, you've got to get on my husband's show. You've got to talk about menopause on my husband's show. I'm like, okay, great. I lived in Boston. I would love to be on the radio. And what am I talking about? I barely listen to the radio. We all listen to Spotify. We all listen to Spotify and iTunes and our podcasts, as you are doing now. So when I jumped on, I met Greg and Mike, and the radio stations didn't really ring a bell to me, but I did catch something about sports radio. And I thought, oh boy, I wonder if this is like a station guys listen to, you know, because maybe it's just, I don't know, sports, or yes, I'm being a little genderist here, but, and so I thought, I wonder how this is going to go. Now, I had been emailing back and forth with Greg, the radio show host Greg, and he was really, really excited to have me on. And I had an inkling this was because his wife was so excited about how she was feeling. She was feeling so much better, and he really wanted to bring awareness to this. So I sit down and I realized I had never been interviewed by not one, but two men before. I've had interviews with men, usually male gynecologists or male internists or oncologists or other clinicians usually, but I've never been interviewed by a male before. Like just answer, question, answer, question, answer, question, answer, right? So not one, but two. And these guys were interested. They had a lot to say. They were like on the edge of their seats. You know, we joked because they had set up a Zoom meeting to record for half an hour. And as the clock was ticking down, they're like, Dr. Hirsch, we'll call you right back. Let's do have another half an hour. Oops. And that is someone texting me. And so I said, sure, yes. So, you know, what I found interesting from this interview was my patient talked about how she struggled with her health, in particular her mental health, through late perimenopause. And they went to different doctors and everyone was offering her antidepressants and therapy. She started doing some reading and she said, I wonder if this is perimenopause. I wonder if I need hormones. And she tells this story beautifully, and I don't want to take this story away from her, but she woke up one night with suicidal thoughts. And unfortunately, and on a serious note, I have heard this story before. And she wakes up her husband, Greg, and says, I need help. I'm having very dark thoughts and I'm scared. So, you know, they took her to the emergency room and she gets there and she's been reading. She says, you know, the one thing about staying up all night is you can learn a lot. So she's been reading about perimenopause and they check her in and they do her vitals and then they do some lab work. And then, you know, the doctor comes in, the ER doctor, and then they get a psych consult and she's like, is there an endocrinologist? And I think they all about died. It's like probably 3:30 in the morning. Like, no, there's no emergency hormone doctor. But she's like, I want to talk to an endocrinologist. I think this is hormonal. And, you know, I'm pretty sure, again, this was just humorous. You can imagine. No one knows what she's talking about 3:30 in the morning. And for a lot of male partners, they're watching this and just feel freaking helpless. They're not sure what's going on. They know their wife isn't acting or their partner isn't acting the same, but they feel really helpless. Again, it's very similar to probably pregnancy. I've had three children. And so my husband watched me through the mood swings and the cravings and the not wanting to be touched situation. And so, you know, they by proxy sort of start to sort of figure out what's going on with their surroundings and their partners. And so men, they just felt, he just said, you know, he felt so helpless. So they go from doctor to doctor to doctor to doctor. And finally she sees me and we start HRT and she feels better. And so, you know, when they're interviewing me, he's like, well, wait a second. I don't understand, Dr. Hirsch. We have treatment. Why don't we just do that? I was like, well, how much time do you have? Hence, we went over the half an hour. But, you know, I heard somewhere that women communicate to form stronger relationships, to form bonds, and men communicate to solve problems. And it's kind of true. Men want to just solve the problem. Sometimes as women, we don't even want to solve the problem. We just want to talk. We want to have dialogue. And so these guys were like, but we have treatment, Dr. Hirsch. Why aren't we doing this? Why don't people know more about this? And if you've been listening to my show and following me, this is just probably humorous to you. But I realized again through this how important having men in the conversation are, because if anything, they are such strong allies and like, we have treatment. It is safe. It saved my wife's life. Why aren't we doing it? And I think that was actually the takeaway, was they were floored of how many barriers women have. Even though they're smart men, they understand what I was trying to say, but the social and the political and the emotional feelings around estrogen and testosterone are just so high. We've scared women. We treat women so much differently than we treat men that they just like couldn't comprehend this. And I think that was the most interesting thing. I had two guys interviewing me saying, I don't understand why this is so hard. You know, we know why it's hard, because of the fears, of the myths, of the misconceptions, of the lack of training of healthcare providers. So I talked about that with them, and they were just still so flabbergasted. And that really stuck with me as I was traveling to New York to do Live with Kelly and Mark. And it went great. And I was so lucky. I got to talk with Kelly Ripa and her husband, Amar Consuelos, for a couple of minutes before, a couple of minutes after. And, you know, Kelly said to me, you know, everyone in my family told me hormone therapy was so unsafe and I was going to hurt myself if I did. And, you know, Mark said, she said, he had no idea it was going to last so long, or that it, you know, as I started to talk about in my segment, that once you're postmenopausal, you're always postmenopausal and you don't make your hormones again. And actually it lasts a lifetime and symptoms can last many, many years. So she said they were walking around Central Park one day a few years ago and she just sat down and just started like sobbing and crying and just said, I don't feel like me and I don't look like myself. And Mark was just like bewildered. Again, as men are, because it's a physiologic process they can literally not understand. When I was on Oprah, I said, you know, as to why this is so confusing, I said, you know, men have one universal truth and it's puberty. And then let's face it, that's it. You know, after about age 13 or 14, like you're done. That's it. You've managed it. If you can get through those funky years in high school, which as women, we have like funky years our entire life. We have funky years in high school too, probably worse because we have more body parts that are showing externally, right? So that's all they have to do. That's it. We have to worry about periods and, you know, not getting pregnant and then getting pregnant and then breastfeeding and then body changes. Then every month our hormone change and then perimenopause and then they crash and burn and then menopause. Like so much. Like we have such a huge burden that men can't relate, but they want to help. Again, they want to help. This is kind of the theme that I keep feeling because I have not been interviewed by many men. And all of a sudden I got interviewed by four in a row. So Mark came over and he said, you know, I'm so thankful to have you here. This is a really important topic. It was something I was really confused and unprepared for. And we had a great segment, you know, and I remember in the segment, they kind of laughed like out loud when I talked about the NAMS, the Menopause Society. There's a sacred society for menopause. Now, of course, we mean the professional society. And, you know, he said, is there one for husbands? I said, there should be. Like, there should be. It's almost like if we are really powerful by ourselves, ladies, as my AOWs, do we need to be AOMs, like Army of Men too? I don't know. Maybe there should be because, again, look, the more people, the better. And again, while genderist, I do think like men want to just solve the problem. And you know, as females, we do too, but potentially together we can help break down more of the barriers. Well, today I was interviewed by another male, another husband, was for radio ads. It was funny. We jumped on the podcast link and all I knew was they were for radio ads, which St. Martin's Press was helping me set up. And so I said, he said, do you know what we're even talking about today? I said, no, I have no idea. He said, well, you know, I'm going to ask you some questions about your book, about what you do for your profession. And then I'm going to take some of these sound bites and they'll go on public radio as ads for your book and things like that. So he basically started interviewing me. And, you know, as we started getting into it and as I started talking, he said, hey, my wife would really benefit from this book. Like me and my wife, she's been thinking about hormone therapy. She's having symptoms. And I said, yeah. And not surprisingly, because I have a topic that people have so many questions about from every different angles, he also too was like asking me, you know, questions. And a lot of it more about, this is really fascinating, and where can my wife find you for help, and how do you offer support, and what kind of resources do you have? Where should she start? And he was asking me the questions. They started about my book, and then, you know, why do you do what you do, and what can women do to prepare for this? And, you know, again, it's just, it was amazing. And I said, I have to do a show about men and menopause, because, you know, I had the radio talk show with Greg and Mike, and then Mark, and then lastly, the talk show, the gentleman, I will protect his name to protect his identity, who was interviewing me for these radio ads. So a couple of final thoughts here. I think that men are very interested. And as much as sometimes if you know, have a male partner, as I do, so I'll just use me. You know, we can feel as though sometimes men are a little aloof, maybe, if you will. They do want to help for the women that they love, but they don't know how. And if you think back, if you were pregnant or you had any other kind of health struggle that they couldn't necessarily like help you through, they can't take the pain away. This is another one where they just don't know how. If we barely know the resources, neither do they. But I have had many a partner, a husband, find me for their female partners and come with me to the office and listen in. And it's always wonderful because back in the day when I was at the Brigham, when I was at Ohio State, and I had partners come with their partners, and not just men, but if you had a female partner who hadn't experienced menopause or did, but the men particularly were like, wow, this is like fascinating and it's validating. So it's not me. No, it's not you. And maybe. But, you know, I think that they're actually so interested in what happens to our bodies and our physiology. They're curious, just like we are. We got to give them some slack, right? We got to cut them some slack. And they're problem solvers. And they're in positions to help us solve problems. Let's be honest. We can solve a lot of problems, but we don't have to do it alone. You know, and I think, even, of course, male doctors, male gynecologists, there are certainly several for whom have been my mentors, Dr. Jim Simon, Dr. Phil Sorrell, Dr. Howard Hodes. There's more. I can't remember now. I'm putting myself on the spot. But, you know, so many men are also advocates, and they don't seem to get as much recognition either in the media or in the news. Oh, Dr. Avram Blooming, you know, because women like to hear from women, and we want to kind of keep this universal experience, but maybe like keep it within us. I don't know. Anyways, so they're problem solvers, and they're certainly wanting to help solve problems for women, especially those that love the women that are going through menopause. You know, anytime I go to an event or I do public speaking or I'm doing a talk, it is so fun to see the people around who find me in the green room, who find me in the hallways to say, hey, this is happening in my house too. What do you think about this, Heather? So, I think that we're stronger together. I think men want to help. I think they're curious. And I think that they're in positions to help us put these pieces together. So I want to hear from you. Tell me in my Instagram, because there's no great way to communicate on podcast. There's no comment in the comment section. But I'd love to know on Instagram, what do you think about this topic? How can we include more men? Gosh, I mean, I could always have men come to their partner's visits. You're always welcome on my telemedicine visits. If you don't know, I have private telemedicine practice, and I would love to see you. You can book visits on my website, heatherhirschmd.com. It says become a patient right there. You know, they can listen to podcasts. They can take my courses with their partners. There's tons of free information, but this one is always tricky. Because like my patient said today, I had a great day. I had clinic today. I am dying to get this podcast out to you. It's Friday afternoon. No one's going to listen to this, I bet, because no one's listening to podcasts on Friday afternoon. So, it kills me I didn't get this out on Wednesday. I know, I'm such a perfectionist. But she said, one of my patients was an international patient today. And I love this. I love finding out what's going on in different geographical regions. TLDR, it's all the same, except for maybe the UK, where they're doing a really great job right now. But there's just a lot of informational noise. There's lots of crap. There's lots of garbage. There's lots of shiny object syndrome. There's lots of aesthetics being done or being promised. And no one knows what is the right drum to march to. What's the beat? What's the undertone here? It's very confusing. If it's confusing for women, and let's be honest, we've got a couple extra chromosomes, it's also confusing for men. So certainly there's a lot of free things. You know, there's a lot of great resources. I'm going to rattle off my friend's resources, right? Dr. Valerie Concho is a great sleep medicine expert. When Sex Hurts is a great book for painful intercourse, written by Dr. Jill Kraft and others. You Are Not Broken is a great book by Dr. Kelly Casperson. Of course, all good friends of mine, because I'm so lucky. The Vagina Bible by... Jen Gunter, why can't I think, is also a great book. Amanda Thieme's Menopocalypse, great book. There's a lot of great books there's probably more that I will endorse. I'm just thinking of the ones like immediately off the top of my head that I love and recommend. There's great books. There are great people to follow. But anyways, let me know what you think. What could we do? How can we involve our partners more? Because at some point, y'all, you know, I'm always thinking a couple steps ahead. Like I make a change, but I have like two more in my pocket. I do right now. But one of the ones that I'm a little bit scared to get into, but I need your help, is policy change. I don't want to be a politician, no bone in my body at all. I want to be a doctor and I want to stay a doctor. But I want to work more on policy change. A lot of my friends do as well. But on this topic of getting men involved and really trying to change either healthcare policy or the way doctors receive education and training, the pricing around medications, accessibility of safe and FDA-approved medications, what can we do? What can you do? What can I help you do? All right, I'm going to leave you guys with that. If you are my subscriber-only show, I'm going to tell you all the behind the scenes of Live with Kelly and Mark, as I always do. Thank you guys so much for being a supporter. It's really so fun, and I hope to make you proud of what I say and how I try to be very inclusive for all the different types and kinds and people and menopauses, because I see them all. And there's just no one size fits all. And so I'm not perfect human, and I probably won't be. But I hope to have made your life a little bit better or provided some resources that you can send to friends, family, or use for yourself. All right, without further ado, have a lovely, lovely weekend. I will get you out another podcast on Wednesday of next week, as I usually do. Thank you guys so much for listening in. Bye, everyone.